The undersecretary leaned across his desk toward Bailey.
Here is certain information which you will discuss with no one, not even with other government officials. Our sociologists have been coming to certain conclusions concerning the present galactic situation. 50 outer worlds, underpopulated, roboticized, powerful, with people that are healthy and long-lived. We ourselves, crowded, technologically underdeveloped, short-lived, under their domination. It is unstable.
Well, everything is in the long run.
This is unstable in the short run. 100 years is the most we're allowed. The situation will last our time, to be sure, but we have children. Eventually, we will become too great a danger to the outer worlds to be allowed to survive. There are 8 billions on Earth who hate the spacers.
Bailey said,
"The spacers exclude us from the galaxy, handle our trade to their own profit, dictate to our government and treat us with contempt. What do they expect? Gratitude?"
"True. And yet the pattern is fixed. Revolt, suppression, revolt, suppression. And within a century, Earth will be virtually wiped out as a populated world."
"So the sociologists say."
Bailey stirred uneasily. One didn't question sociologists and their computers.
"What do you expect me to accomplish if all this is so?"
"Bring us information. The big flaw in sociological forecast is our lack of data concerning the spacers. We've had to make assumptions on the basis of the few spacers they sent out here. We've had to rely on what they choose to tell us of themselves, so it follows we know their strengths, and only their strengths. Damn it. They have their robots and their low numbers and their long lives, but do they have weaknesses? Is there some factor or factors which, if we but knew, would alter the sociologic inevitability of destruction, something that could guide our actions and better the chance of Earth's survival?
Hadn't you better send a sociologist, sir?"
Minim shook his head.
"If we could send whom we pleased, we would have sent someone out 10 years ago when these conclusions were first being arrived at. This is our first excuse to send someone, and they ask for a detective, and that suits us. A detective is a sociologist, too. A rule of thumb, practicing sociologist, or he wouldn't be a good detective. Your record proves you a good one."
"Thank you, sir," said Bailey mechanically. "And if I get into trouble?"
Minim shrugged.
"That's the risk of a policeman's job."
He dismissed the point with a wave of his hand and added,
"In any case, you must go. Your time of departure is set. The ship that will take you is waiting."
Bailey stiffened.
"Waiting? When do I leave?"
"In 2 days."
"I've got to get back to New York, then. My wife—"
"We will see your wife. She can't know the nature of your job, you know. She will be told not to expect to hear from you."
"But this is inhuman. I must see her. I may never see her again,"
Minim said.
"What I say now may sound even more inhuman, but isn't it true that there is never a day you set about your duties on which you cannot tell yourself, she may never see you again? Plainclothesman Bailey, we must all do our duty."
Bailey's pipe had been out for 15 minutes. He had never noticed it. No one had more to tell him. No one knew anything about the murder. Official after official simply hurried him on to the moment when he stood at the base of a spaceship, all unbelieving still. It was like a gigantic cannon aimed at the heavens, and Bailey shivered spasmodically in the raw open air. The night closed in, for which Bailey was thankful, like dark black walls melting into a black ceiling overhead. It was cloudy, and though he had been to Planetaria, a bright star stabbing through a rift in the cloud startled him when it caught his eyes. A little spark, far, far away. He stared curiously, almost unafraid of it. It looked quite close, quite insignificant, and yet around things like that circled planets of which the inhabitants were lords of the galaxy. The sun was a thing like that, he thought, except much closer, shining now on the other side of the earth. He thought of the earth suddenly as a ball of stone with a film of moisture and gas, exposed to emptiness on every side, with its cities barely dug into the outer rim, clinging precariously between rock and air. His skin crawled. The ship was a spacer vessel, of course. Interstellar trade was entirely in spacer hands. He was alone now, just outside the rim of the city. He had been bathed and scraped and sterilized until he was considered safe, by spacer standards, to board the ship. Even so, they sent only a robot out to meet him, bearing as he did 100 varieties of disease germs from the sweltering city to which he himself was resistant, but to which the eugenically hot-housed spacers were not. The robot bulked dimly in the night, its eyes a dull red glow.
"Plainclothesman Elijah Bailey."
"That's right," said Bailey crisply,
the hair on the nape of his neck stirring a bit. He was enough of an Earthman to get angry gooseflesh at the sight of a robot doing a man's job. There had been R. Daniil Oliva, who had partnered with him in the spacer murder affair, but that had been different. Daniil had been,
"You will follow me, please,"
said the robot, and a white light flooded a path toward the ship.